I'm Derek Bullard, and this is Reaching Out to the Community. Today we speak with Mr. Luc Godreau, a full professor at the University of Sherbrooke in the biology department. With a wealth of knowledge accumulated over two decades, Mr. Godreau has been deeply engaged in unraveling the mysteries of gene regulation and the effects of pesticides on cellular mechanisms since 1998. Join us as we embark on a fascinating journey through his research endeavors, exploring the world of biology and the profound implications of his groundbreaking findings. We'll discuss the complexities of pesticide exposure and its potential impact on human health.
Well, my name's Luc Godreau, or Luc Godreau, if I want to try to translate in English. I'm a full professor at the University of Sherbrooke in the biology department. I've been a scientist there. I've been running my lab since 1998. So mainly I work on mechanisms of gene regulation. And a little over a decade ago, I really got interested in learning how pesticides would really affect cellular mechanisms and interfere with that, and maybe try to learn why some pesticides are able to cause cancers. So there you go.
Yeah. So are you alone, or do you have a team that works with you?
No, I have a team.
Okay.
I mean, I run the lab, but the actual people that do most of the work, if not all the work, are like graduate students, PhD students, maybe postdocs, and then I've had in the past research technicians, research assistants that actually contribute.
We start with a fundamental question. Why focus in on health effects of pesticides present in low concentrations in the environment, while the dangers of high pesticide concentrations are well documented? So what motivated Mr. Godreau and his team to scrutinize the potential impact of these substances at lower levels? Listen in as our guest explores this pivotal aspect of his research journey.
Right. Well, it's a really simple question. It's all a matter of how you test the toxicity of pesticides and if they can cause cancer. So usually you typically take a lab animal and then treat them with different concentrations of a certain molecule, a certain pesticide, and then you decide if, well, above a certain level, it'll be able to, induce tumors. Below a certain level, it can be deemed as being relatively safe. The problem is that we, in agricultural practices, we use dozens of different pesticides, right? Over the years, we've used a great number of different molecules. And when I talk about pesticides, I really mean like herbicides, fungicides, and insecticides, right?
Yeah.
So for all these reasons, most of the pesticides used are agriculture, but it also, have just what golf courses, for example, use quite a bit of pesticide as well to get rid of these pesky dandelions, for example. So pretty much everywhere where people live, you will find traces or low concentrations of whatnot, different kinds of pesticides, right, and other sorts of pollutants. So my question was, well, what if they all have in common one cellular target? What if all these different chemicals target the same thing or relatively similar things in the cell? Then having all these little concentrations added up together would be as dangerous as having a really huge or high level of this one chemical or pesticide. Well, in our study that recently published, we used five different pesticides, and all of them are used in Canada. And so what we, as it gets complicated, if you want to combine all the permutations of, for example, hundreds of different pesticides, that would be, well, nearly impossible, essentially. So we used five pesticides that are commonly used, and each of them alone would not trigger. So we've looked specifically at cellular responses, and those cellular responses are, the first one is how cells can activate molecules that can detoxify cells, and that will eventually generate all sorts of metabolites because the cell essentially wants to get rid of all these pollutants, right? Mm-hmm. So essentially it gets activated, and while doing so, that can cause indirectly mutations in DNA. I'll come back to mutations in a little bit. And then the other thing we looked at is really how all the little machinery that will sense if there's any DNA damage. If that gets activated, it means you're likely getting mutations in DNA. So those are the two cellular responses we looked at, essentially. And going back to the low concentrations, none of those molecules we looked at, the pesticides, were able to significantly trigger these responses. But combined together, they're able to significantly induce these responses, much like the higher concentration of any of those molecules can. So that really opens up the question that, well, maybe in the environment you have all these tens, maybe hundreds of different sorts of pesticides, but maybe they work together to do something not, well, harmful to the cell. That's the gist of the study.
Our guest goes on to shed some light on the process by which chemicals are deemed safe for use, particularly in Canada. He reveals the complexities of pesticide testing, highlighting the discrepancy in safety standards between countries. Listen in as he talks about pesticide regulation and its implications on public health.
Well, yeah, you have the experts in Health Canada that actually decide whether or not a certain molecule is safe. And pretty often, the companies that make those pesticides, they will themselves test if the molecule is safe or not. Oh. And that's published. It gets published, and anyone in public can actually react to whether or not the study is good or not good. And some of those pesticides that we've used are banned in other countries, like France, for example, but are still used widely in Canada. Pretty variable from one country to the other, whether the pesticide is safe or not. Now, where I may get in trouble here, but that's my honest opinion. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of the study is that we're not testing properly if a pesticide is safe or not. And you have to keep in mind that the main disease that we need to worry about is all the different sorts of cancers. Yeah. Cancer is an age-related disease. It's a genetic disease. So age-related in the sense that, well, the more you live, the more you're likely to get different sorts of mutations. So it's really, really hard to pinpoint whether or not a pesticide will give you cancer. First of all, in Canada, there's really, really not a lot of epidemiological, that's a tough word to say for a French person. there's not a lot of those sorts of studies in Canada to try to link, if you live really close to an intense agricultural area, the cancer incidence is. I mean, you have numbers. In other countries like France and other European countries, it's quite clear that, you know, if the closer you live to these agricultural areas, the more likely you will be to develop a form of cancer. So historically, that's what I've told other journalists. Historically, what we do is we tend to use them a lot, these pesticides, and then we discover, oh, damn, they're dangerous or they can cause cancer.
Yeah.
Starting with Agent Orange that was used in Vietnam during the Vietnam War, right? They use that as a herbicide to try to, uncover, kill the vegetation to help the soldiers, but they then discovered that herbicide was highly contaminated with dioxin, and that caused a lot of health issues in those populations. They're still being felt today, actually. A lot of soldiers were compensated and their families for that. Of course, they got rid of Agent Orange, and then you can think of DDT, That's an insecticide that was discovered. It was supposed to attack essentially insect brains and specifically kill insects. But the chemist that discovered that pesticide actually got a Nobel Prize. And then we discovered, that pesticide can actually cause human cancers, and it was really harmful to a lot of bird species. So then we decided to ban that. And then today, you probably heard of glyphosate. Mm-hmm. Not sure I'm pronouncing it right, mm-hmm. but Roundup, essentially. Yeah. We use it quite a lot. And the forestry departments as well, forestry companies, you know, reports in the north, we use it a lot. We use it in agriculture. And there are more and more studies pointing to the fact that it'll also cause cancer. So we tend to do that, right? We tend to use these molecules a lot, not test enough. And then later on we discover, oh, they're really harmful for you.
Mr. Godereau goes on to unravel the mechanisms by which pesticides interact with human cells, shedding light on why pesticides can lead to cancer.
As I mentioned earlier, one of the mechanisms we know, they all seem to trigger a really common cellular response. So they will all tend to stick to this one stress sensor protein in the cell that'll activate a pathway. So a certain cell pathway. So the cell is really trying to get rid of those pollutants. So what it does, essentially, it's like, think of a digestive system. It tries to digest these molecules and transforms them into other little molecules. And it's all those little other molecules that you need to worry about, because they can actually turn out to be mutagenic, in the sense they will likely cause mutations in DNA. We have examples of that. And then on the more another more maybe specific mechanism would be that the pesticide will just get in the cell and cause mutations in DNA directly. And that in turn, of course, if you get the bad combination of mutations, well, that's enough to trigger cancer growth.
Okay.
So that's what we need to worry about, that they will eventually mutate your DNA.
So your study also suggested that regions with intensive agriculture face greater risks from pesticide exposure. So why is that?
There's just more. It's a question of concentration. I mean, they're everywhere. You're likely to have those pesticides in your drinking water, all the water sources, and it's as simple as that. So the more they're concentrated in a region, the more you're likely to be exposed to them. And
our guest's insights shed light on the implications of recent research for public health agencies and agricultural practices, emphasizing the need for further investigation into the safety and testing of pesticides, highlighting the economic factors at play, and advocating for more rigorous examination of their potential impact. What implications now moving forward do you think this could have for public health agencies or agricultural practices? Do you think someone is paying attention to this study?
A lot of people are not. It also becomes a question of economics. I'm not saying not to use pesticides, because, I mean, we're essentially feeding third world countries, and you need to think about cost. And I'm not saying that all pesticides are bad, necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that a lot of them are not being tested well enough, and we're being kind of stubborn about it.
Okay.
So we need to test more. I mean, of course, if you're in a fancy molecular biology lab, then you can, you know, you have access to state-of-the-art technology that really can test on the short, mid, or even long term whether or not a pesticide is safe or not. But we're just not doing that yet. Okay. My opinion.
Okay, so that would lead me to ask you, do you think that there's further research that is necessary, and you know, where should the studies, what areas should the studies concentrate on?
Right, well, I think we should really, really try to develop also, in my case, what I'm interested in is really trying to develop animal models to really look at that to leave the cell system behind a little bit and try to use like more natural concentrations that you find in the environment of those pesticides, and because we just don't know. I was referring to, you may find 10, maybe 100 different molecules in certain environments, but it's kind of tricky to know. We know there's a lot, and you by analytical chemistry methods, you can take a soil sample, for example, and look if there's this or that pesticide, but it's hard to really survey how many different pesticides there are in there. So you need to test them one by one.
Okay.
And have an educated guess, like say you think that there's this pesticide, that you decide to look for it, and then you answer yes or no, and how much is there. So we need to take some environmental samples, and then maybe animal models, and then look more on the mid to long term side of things and see how they will react to these chemicals, essentially. But and of course, on the at the cellular level, we looked at two different cellular pathways. We know there's likely more pathways that are being affected in the cell, so we need to look more how this might eventually trigger cancer. They're really nice also to have epidemiological studies in Canada, in Quebec, so that would be really, really cool. But I guess lack of funding and maybe, I wouldn't say interest to the subject, but probably more lack of funding.
Yeah. Finally, Mr. Godreau brings us valuable insights into making informed choices about food safety and sustainability, emphasizing the importance of asking questions and seeking information, especially in today's world where misinformation can be rampant.
Yeah, ask questions. Yeah. Get informed. Yeah. Don't leave Facebook, and you know there's a lot of people that are really knowledgeable those subjects, and you need to ask questions. Well, how are these fruits and vegetables grown? I mean, is it what kind of molecules that have, which farm is it from? What are they doing to control the pests? Is it, you think it's safer or not? Of course, eating bio is the way to go, but is it affordable for all the families? I think it's getting tougher and tougher, especially in this day and age where, well, things are getting really expensive. Yeah. Yeah, so that would be my recommendation. Learn, ask questions, because the information's out there for sure.
Yeah. We extend our special thanks to Luc Godreau and the entire team at the Université de Sherbrooke for publishing these insightful findings. I'm Derek Bullard, and this has been an Information News Update. Keep it tuned right here to CJMQ 88.9 FM.